Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson we pick up in verse 3. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. So, what do we have here? We've got a conversation that Jesus is inviting the people into. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath? That's just the opening of the whole thing. What is this thing called the Sabbath? What is this thing called day of rest? And then it moves on to, what are you for? Are you created to serve the laws of God? Or do you have another place in life? What is it all about? What is eternity? What is heaven? What about the soul? What is right and wrong? All of those things opened up for them by Jesus. And by the way, I know this kind of question is things that people are fascinated with. I remember when I was young, occasionally you'd get into those conversations late at night. What do you think happens to you after you die? Okay. And somebody's going through something and they want to talk. I know this goes from generation to generation because, well, there is this one incident where one of our kids did not come home when he was supposed to in the evening. Oh, yeah. Dad's getting all of the dad lines ready. Heading out in the car. Where are we going to find him? Where we were at that point, the hangout place was the parking lot of Hardee's after they closed. And we find him. Get in the car. And as I'm launching into the dad lines, one of his friends comes over and says, "He was talking with me about God." Yeah. There's all those dad lines, and you just throw them away for that night. You can't use them. That's it. But it is that illustration that these are things that we think about. And so Jesus, in the synagogue that day, putting out the question. Let's talk about things. Talk about eternal things. Let's talk about spiritual things. Let's talk about soul things. Invites them into the whole discussion. What did they do? Tried to illustrate that by the reading of the gospel lesson. Long silence. We've got a few kids that are still in school. And think about that thing the teacher has been teaching you for 3 weeks. Now it's time to get into a discussion. What's it all about? And the teacher puts out the question, and all of the kids are going, "Oh, it's interesting looking out the window." Yeah. The teacher's going, "Somebody." In the teacher's brain, there's the scream. "Somebody say something. Is this the end of all I've been leading up to?" Okay? When it says he looked around at them with anger, the word could mean frustration. You want to talk about these things. You talk about them every chance you get. And Now when you got somebody here who actually made the Sabbath, you're not going to say a word? So, what is the Sabbath? And you could give me the answer, it's a day of rest. And what's that mean? I hear a number of answers. Well, we need rest as human beings because working 7 days a week, we get tired and burned out and all of that. And so God provided for our welfare with the Sabbath. Just scratching at the surface. There's a whole lot more to it than that. So you could go another step deeper. What is the Sabbath? It's a day of rest to know that there's something more to life. There is stuff of the soul. There's eternity. There is enjoyment. There is family and friends and spending time together and realizing that people are more important than things. And okay, that's part of it too. But again, just scratching at the surface. If you ask the Pharisees, what is the Sabbath? How do you keep the Sabbath? Oh, they got their rule book. Yeah, how do you describe the rule book of the Pharisees? Well, let me give you actually four illustrations. Number one, they had counted how many steps you could take away from your home before you exceeded by one step too many and now you were no longer resting because the walking was working. Okay. Another illustration from Mark chapter 2. If you're going through the grain fields and you're kind of peckish, pull off a head of grain and go like this to separate the kernel from the husk, and then you can have a snack. Wait, you have just done harvesting, and harvesting is work, so don't do that. They had details. How detailed? Here's the third illustration. Ever looked online for the full baseball rule book? It's got things in it like what happens if the pitcher pitches, the batter hits the ball, but the ball hits a goose that's flying overhead. There's rules for that. The rule book for golf has, every eventuality they try and think of. Is that what the Sabbath is about? So Jesus is inviting them, come on in to the discussion. What is it? What is it really? And when you ask, what is it really? You're asking, what was it originally? And then you get, and I'm going to say, wrong. You're going to get the answer that what the Sabbath was originally intended for is for us, mankind, to set aside a day to spend some time with God. Nope. That's not the original. Good. Puzzled looks. So I can do this now. Originally, it was not for man to do such and such and such and spend time with God. Originally, it was so that God could spend time with man. Specifically in the original Adam and Eve. That's the idea of the Sabbath. Because God creates in 6 days. He rests on the seventh day. It's something that he is making. What's he have in mind for the Sabbath? And then you read in Genesis how the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve, they're off, they're hiding. And he calls out to them. It's the call to come and be with God, which they were busy doing that other thing, namely hiding from God, because they ate the forbidden fruit. They listened to the words of Snake Face, with his snake words and snake promises, and got bit by the fake promises. So they're off there. They look at themselves. We're naked. Fig leaves are pretty big, some of them. Let's sew some together and hide behind the bushes. The first Sabbath. And it all goes wrong. Which leaves God to be pursuing, chasing after his Sabbath. What he wants to do with his Sabbath. So he calls to them, come. And he gives them a promise of the seed of the woman who will give rest to us by defeating death and hell and the devil and bringing us back into being right with God. He calls to them to come walk with him again. And then, so far, about 6,000 years recorded of God calling. He calls Abraham, come, leave your father's house and go to a promised land that I will show you. And by the way, that promised land is only an image of the real promise of the rest that keeps on going forever. And that rest is to be with God and be blessed by God. See, what God has in mind is on his Sabbath, he wants to spend his time with human beings, us, and he wants to do God things. God things are blessing, watching over, providing for, being with us in our troubles and through our good times to watch over us, to watch over us not only body, but also watch over us body and soul, bringing us through every day and on into an eternity of being blessed by him, where he can pour out more blessings than you could tally up if you had all eternity to do it, with more variety of blessings than you could list if you had all of eternity to do it. He calls Abraham, and Abraham goes to walk with God and finds out that this walking with God is going to lead him to some wild things, including being on Mount Moriah, where Abraham and Isaac get to act out the parts of God and his only son, God sending his son to Mount Moriah. And then God calls the people of Israel, come on out, come out from Egypt. And they learn that before going and walking with God out of Egypt, there's going to have to be a Passover. And the blood of a lamb to mark the lintel and the doorposts in the sign of the cross, pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And God continues to call through the time of the kings and the prophets and everything else until the time comes when God steps into the world in order to call us. Steps into the world because God's Sabbath is to spend time with us. And so Jesus is born, and the shepherds are called, and wise men are called from far, far away. And Jesus goes through the Holy Land, and he's telling the people, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is the day when God can be among you to pour out blessings on you. Now, that's pretty cool. So is it right to heal a man who had a withered hand on the Sabbath? Doing God things, right? Spending time enjoying being with his human beings and getting to bless them. And so it goes until the being with man leads to the time when he rides into Jerusalem, kneels in the Garden of Gethsemane, carries the cross out to Golgotha, Calvary, the place of the skull. And there he wins the actual rest that we need for our souls. Sending the message out into the entire world. All of you have been trying to figure out how to walk with God and earn eternal life. All of you who have gone wrong and realized that your lives have gone wrong and are trying to figure out how to get back. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Christianity goes out into the world as this weird religion. Yeah, called it a weird religion. Because religion is supposed to be, you do these things. You try and live the righteous life. And you stand before God trying to do right. No, that's not Christianity. Christianity is, here comes God, who calls to you and says, hey, I want your sins. Give them up. Give them all up. I'll take them all. And he carries the sins off to the cross and does away with them. Then he says, you're free. Now what are you going to do with your freedom? Hint, hint. He wants to spend his eternity with you. Hint, hint. Does that sound like a good idea? So it goes on and it goes on. And finally you get toward the end of the Bible, it's Revelation, the last two chapters of the Bible, chapter 21, God says, now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will be their God and they will be his people, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and he will be their God. And God says, now I've got my Sabbath. My time to spend with these human beings that I love, loved so much that I created them, loved so much that when they went into sin, I came and I called them back, loved so much that I took all of the sins away. That's the Sabbath. Not from our perspective. It's from God's perspective. His perspective is better than mine, isn't it? So we come to church. Yeah. Why? Oh, I come to church because I want to serve God. No. I come to church because I know of this God who does not fit into any of the patterns of normal religion, and he calls me here so he can serve me. Let that sink in. In Jesus' name, amen.